2 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll pick up where we left off. There's some deliverance in this chapter. There'll be nothing like the deliverance that God gives us at the rapture. That deliverance from this world, deliverance from ourselves, our own bodies, deliverance from the very presence of sin. Boy, what a world it'll be. Never be in an environment where there's never a sin again. I'm not just talking about sin outwardly, not even one inwardly, not even in your mind. And I'm homesick for that. But God can give us deliverance down in this nasty now and now that we live, as Dr. Bob Sr. said. And we're reading about some of it tonight in the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll pick up where we left off in verse number 3. Reading down to verse number 7. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, the Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's." We're talking about pulling down of strongholds tonight, as found in verse number 4. It's very interesting, again, that this discussion is in the middle of these three chapters that talk about reaching out to the regions beyond with the gospel and the giving of the church that is done. And certainly, a church that is involved in the work of God around the world is not going to be able to do that if they don't have the right mind, if they do not fight their own flesh, if they do not have victory. One of the great hindrances, really, to reaching the world is just carnality. And one of the big motivations for us to be right with God is so that God could use us to reach a world. And so I don't think there's any contradiction that he puts this right in the middle of all of this. Even as the end of the chapter talks about the regions beyond and reaching out and preaching the gospel of Christ, it is hard. Again, we said it time and time again. It is so hard, if not impossible, to reach out to others with help for their soul if we cannot find that same help for ourselves. And so that's what we're looking at here, some strongholds that keep us from serving God. There are strongholds that keep you from doing what God wants you to do. A stronghold is something that, well, you can say it in a variety of ways. A stronghold would be something that's got a strong hold on you. Have you ever seen things that have such a hold on people as today? So many strongholds there are that just has a hold of people and they can't get out of that grip. A stronghold is also a fortified place that's hard to overcome. If you look in the Old Testament, David, you know, many times he would go and he would find himself and put himself in a stronghold, a fortified place that would keep the bad people out and maybe keep something in, keep his own protection in. So a stronghold is a fortified place. Now that's great if it's a fortified place for good, but I tell you what, there are some strongholds that are hard to overcome that are fortified in even God's people's lives. And if they don't get pulled down, you'll never be able to serve God with a stronghold in your life that maybe the devil's put there, you put there yourself. You'll never be able to get past it. You'll never be able to get over it. It's so sad. Some Christians don't live on the victory side. They don't live on the victorious side of the Christian life. Because there's some stronghold, there's some fortified place that's hard to overcome and they can't seem to get out or they can't seem to get over that. But the good news from the Bible is that God has the power to throw down strongholds. The Word of God tells us in the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 11, God says, I will throw down the stronghold. God is bigger than whatever is holding on to you. The thing is, we just need God to start holding on to us. We need to allow God to be more real to us than the stronghold that is keeping us from doing His will and serving Him. Now, there are so many different strongholds that are in people's lives. And evidently, Paul understood that this Corinthian church was not going to be able to be the church God wanted them to be and accomplish the will of God for their life if they didn't pull down these strongholds. I mean, pull them down. Get rid of them. It would take energy to do it. I wonder what they were. Now, hold your finger right there. Go to Nahum. And when you find Nahum, raise your hand. I'm not going to do a Bible drill, but I want to see. When you find Nahum, raise your hand. Oh, my. All right, there. So here we go. Well, good. The men, good. All right, thank you. That's enough. We'll give you 20 more seconds. If you don't find it, just look down. And you... Nahum chapter 1. Watch it now. Nahum 1 verse 7. The Lord is what? Good. Would you admit that with me tonight? Amen. The Lord is good. I can't say that about me. I can't say that about a lot of people. But I can say tonight, the Lord is good. But He's not only good. Look at the verse. The Lord is good. A what? Now, wait a minute. I thought we need to pull down some strongholds in our life. Look, if you've got strongholds in your life that are against God or that are troubling your heart and ruining your life, you need to have a stronger hold than what's holding on to you. God is a stronghold too. He is stronger than what you're up against. You just got to look at Him as your stronghold instead of the thing that's keeping you from Him. A great verse in the Bible is Hebrews 6:18, where the Bible says that we have a strong consolation. A strong consolation. Listen now. Who have fled for refuge to lay, listen, hold. To lay hold upon the hope set before us. That which is in the veil, you see, and Jesus Christ is there. He is our strong consolation, and we need to hold on to Him as He holds on to us. He needs to be our stronghold. But the Word of God lets us know a lot of times we let other things get a hold of us more than God. But wouldn't it be good if God would just get a hold of you? I remember hearing one of those old-timers sing years ago. I was a boy, I thought, man, what... These old people, and now I'm getting to be one of them, you know. But I remember that old preacher got up and sang one time. I didn't know what he's talking about. Something's got a hold of me. Something's got a hold of me. Oh, I went there to fight. But oh my, that night. Something really got a hold of me. And he's singing that song. And I'm saying, what is this man talking about? He went to church to fight God, fight maybe his family. But something else got a hold of him. Boy, wouldn't it be good if God got a hold of us? His strong arm would get a hold of us. His strong hands get a hold of us. Boy, that reminds me of Brother Billy Allen telling that he's in heaven now. I've got so many people that I wish I could bring those people back and let you hear them preach. Whew. God changed my life and helped my life with all those old timers that really knew God. Yeah. Brother Billy Allen started, I don't know how many churches in Louisiana, those Cajuns. How many? 29 churches. 29 churches in the Cajun community. Billy Allen. Heard him preaching one night. He said he led this old Cajun to God. And that old Cajun was dying. laying there on his deathbed. And Brother Allen, the preacher, went in there to see him. And he talked to him. Everything all right, brother? I forget his name. And he started talking to him. He's about to slip on out into eternity. He said that old Cajun lifted up his eyes and looked up and said, right before he died, "Jesus, I didn't know you had such big hands." And he went to glory. I'm telling you, he's got big hands. Why don't you let those strong hands get a hold of you? But you know what we allow? We allow other things to get a hold of us. And they're strong too. But they're strongholds that need to be broken. That need to be cast down. That need to be torn down. Thrown down. He tells us in that verse that we're reading tonight and looking at from our hearts, he says, he tells us pulling down. I mean, you got to grab a hold of it and pull it down. Wonder what those strongholds might be. Well, the first thing I see, look at our verse that comes right before this one. In verse number 4, we have verse number 3. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, "For though we walk in the what? In the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Now, when we often think about the flesh, we think about the sins of the flesh. Certainly, those things can be very, very strong in our lives. I get so discouraged as many people we've tried to help, even at this church in the last 4 years, that have had a drug problem. And it seems like no matter what you do, at some point in time, they go back into the stuff. Because it's so strong a hold of their flesh. Their flesh craves that high or craves that feeling. And that we think of the flesh being a stronghold, maybe the habits. You've probably got a habit that you're having a hard time breaking. I mean, guys, come on, all of us have habits. All of us have things that our flesh, maybe it's nicotine, maybe it's food. There's all kinds of things that get a hold of us, right? Maybe it's the media or devices or the internet. People that give themselves their immorality. You know, the sad thing is, when people do that once, usually they don't just do it once. Are you listening to me? You know why? Because it's so strong in their life that one trip up fool's hill is not enough. The flesh is so strong that it wants to revisit that place over and over again, and it just gets a hold of them. That's why pornography is so destructive in people's lives, because it totally grabs a hold of them. And I've told you before, that's probably why the power of God and the help of God's not more in our churches, and God seemingly almost moved off the scene, is because people are so involved with such wicked things that they look at. It's no wonder that God wouldn't walk in 10,000 miles of us. Because it's a stronghold. And however many times that individual confesses it, here we go back again. Maybe it's laziness. I mean, there's all types. But you know what? In the context of this verse, that's not what he's talking about. You know what the flesh is here in this verse? That's a stronghold of verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not," what does he say? "War after the flesh." It's fleshly to try to take up for yourself. Fleshly. You know, we are in a battle. We are in a fight. There's nothing wrong with having fight in you. Matter of fact, you're not a good Christian if you don't have fight in you. Look at the next verse, verse 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God." That means we do have a fight. The Bible tells us to fight the good fight of faith. The Bible tells us to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. "And no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." Oh, we're in a fight all right, but we're not fighting by the flesh. We're not trying to grab a hold of it and fix it in our own flesh. We have to have a spiritual warfare. We have to have spiritual weapons. We have to deal with problems in a spiritual way and not a carnal way. That's why, you know, whatever happens in our country, look guys, God has not called us to grab our guns and start killing people. That's what the Catholics did in the Middle Ages. We don't do that. We're not Catholic people. We're not trying to make a church state. But I tell you, we should fight for our country. But you know where you need to fight for your country? The same place you fight for your family. The same place that you fight things in your life. You fight it on your knees. It's a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6, that war, that armor that we have for our warfare. But see, we can't fight the good fight of faith if we don't have the whole armor of God on us. If we don't have all those pieces that we preached about before when we went through Ephesians, if we don't have all of those pieces, we don't have the weapons to fight a spiritual battle. I have no doubt that the devil is fighting you. I have no doubt that the devil is fighting your family. I have no doubt that the devil wants to fight and destroy the church. But the way we fight is not in a carnal fashion. Not in a fleshly way. So when we talk about the strongholds of the flesh, sometimes it's the flesh that just wants to take charge instead of dealing with things spiritually. It's so much easier to deal with things with fists than with prayers. It's so much easier to try to deal with things blowing up than being meek, as we preached this morning. So the stronghold maybe is just that we're so carnal that we try to solve our problems in the flesh. He said in verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." And that's the difference, guys. We're all in the flesh, but we don't have to be after the flesh. We all walk in the flesh. We're in this body, but we don't have to let this body dictate our life. Whether it's habits, whether it's whatever it is. We can let the Spirit of God dictate our life. That's what Romans chapter 8 is about. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, you see. We're not to walk after our flesh, we got to walk after the Spirit. And if you're not walking after the Spirit, you're not going to have any victory in your life. And that takes us right back to the fruit of the Spirit. Do you see this stuff being put together? Guys, it's not how smart we are. It's not how diligent we are. It's not how we can figure it out. It's about us being yielded to the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit of God, and there is no way for me to pull down anything if I'm not a Spirit-filled Christian. I'm not going to win. I'm going to lose. I'm going to lose the battle every time. He said in that chapter, Romans 8, he said, "Be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. And peace." And he tells us that, you know, we've got to mortify those fleshly things. We've got to put that flesh to death so that the Spirit of God... And that's, I'm telling you, so many people want victory, but they won't try to pursue it spiritually. They try to pursue it moving physical things or... I understand 1 Corinthians 9:27, "For I keep my body and bring it into subjection." Listen, he means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. We have to have victory over our body. But sometimes that is victory over my tongue. Sometimes that's victory over my thought life, which is the context here. Sometimes that's victory of what I want to do. We do not war after the flesh. We've got to stop trying to respond to battles after the flesh. Look at verse 7. 2 Corinthians 10:7, he says, "Do you look on things after the outward appearance?" You see how fleshly he's trying to tell the Corinthians we are? You look at everything based upon how it looks on the outside. You even sum up, listen to me, you even sum up the seriousness of things by how they look on the outside. Do you know some of the most serious cases that people have? You don't ever see anything on the outside that's wrong. It's down in here. And then you'll see an explosion later, or you see somebody go off the deep end in some way in their life. But that battle should have been fought all along to help that individual, because you can't just look on the outward appearance and think it's all right. You know, on the outward appearance. If somebody just walks in here to our church, they say, "Wow, this is just great. There's no battles here." There's battles in every person's heart here. And we've got to stay on our knees, and we've got to fight that good fight of faith, and we've got to war a good warfare, and we've got to be mighty through God to the pulling down the strongholds that are trying to wreck us. And part of that is done in our mind, that pulling down of strongholds. Because you notice, when he talks about in verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It is a mind thing. A part of pulling down strongholds has to do with your mind. You know that walking after the flesh or walking after the Spirit thing? You know that has to do with your mind? All you have to do is read Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 7. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Look, you put a corpse here in a casket and bring a glass of liquor. They won't even be tempted to touch it. Dead people don't want anything. I mean, you could bring up a barrel full of money to this dead person and say, I'll give you all this money, and they're not even going to be tempted. You could bring dirty magazines and put the dirty magazines in front of the dead person's face, and you know what? The dead person ain't going to have any temptation because they're dead. You know what our problem is? We don't think we're dead. And the Bible says that's right here. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. You're crucified with Christ. That's a dead man. Well, why are we so alive to sin? Why are we so sensitive to sin? Because in our minds we haven't reckoned ourselves to be dead. Romans 7, Paul, I tell you what, if you've got any of these problems with the flesh, you need to study Romans 6, 7, and 8 and just park there and stay there and read those three chapters every day of your life if you need to. Because the Apostle Paul battled the same strongholds. And he summed it up in chapter 7 and he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, for with the mind I'm going to serve the law of God. But with the flesh I'm going to serve sin. God help us tonight to pull down the stronghold of our flesh. And fasting is not the only answer, but I mean, it helps to say no to yourself. So that stronghold of the flesh, I don't know what else I need to say about that, but we just live in such a fleshy time. You've got to pull that down. You know that verse 7, the outward appearance, most of us, you can tell how fleshy we are because we're a whole lot more concerned about how we look than how our heart is. Isn't that right? I mean, we'll spend a lot of time before the mirror, but we won't spend a lot of time before God on our knees. Isn't that true? We might as well just acknowledge that. You know why? Because we're more concerned about how people look at us instead of how God knows we are. So that's a fleshly view. I'm looking at things with... And the Apostle Paul says, if you're going to pull down these strongholds of the flesh, you have got to quit looking at the outward appearance. You've got to see things from a spiritual standpoint. What is the spiritual temperature of our hearts? Well, we know from the book of 1 John that we have several enemies. We have the world, we have the flesh, and we have the devil. So there's strongholds that the world puts in your life. How do I pull down the strongholds of the world? The Bible says everything's in the world. It's not of the Father. It's of the world. And if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. That means this. You cannot be a good Christian with the stronghold of the world upon you. Boy, I tell you what, the world's got such a hold on some people. They'd much rather have the latest phone than the latest verse in the Bible that could help their heart. I'm talking about saved people. They'd much rather watch the next movie that's coming out that nobody can watch, but maybe I can get it on the Netflix or something. They're a whole lot more interested in that than what they're going to learn from God when they go to church. And what's the problem with all that? The problem with all that is the world has got a hold on them. You know, there are people that would be more... I don't even know what the new movies that have come out. There's some Christian that would have been a lot more interested in all that and whatever they're posting and talking about and wanting to buy or do than they would be interested in the missions conference. And that just means the world has a better grip on you than God does. I don't want the world. I know what's going to happen to the world. It's going to pass away. And in my mind, I've got to see that world as one day it's going to be no more. It's going to be ashes. He's going to burn it all up. Isn't it crazy? There are people that are more concerned about the environment of our world than they're concerned about where they're going to go when they die. They have no idea if they're going to go to heaven or hell or what's going to happen after death. But we sure do have to save the ozone hole. I've never even seen the hole. I'm being facetious on purpose. Oh, we got to save the environment. Look, God's going to burn the whole thing up. The world passes away. And you know what He's going to do? He's going to burn this one up. He's just going to make another one. What a God! So why would I let the world grab a hold of me when God's going to burn it up? Why would I even care? We live in a day where people are more concerned about what the world says and celebrities and what's politically correct and all that. They care about the popularity and the reputation of the world because they don't want ridicule from the world. They want to have success in the world. And it's not just that. They're more interested in the work that they do in the world and the money that they make in the world and the trends that are in the world. And I'm telling you, if that's got a hold of you, God doesn't have a hold of you. You know what you need to do? You need to grab hold of those worldly strongholds and just pull them down. Yeah. Well, he says the world, the flesh, and the devil are those enemies. So I not only see the strongholds of the flesh in the verse before, and of course there's strongholds of the world, but there's strongholds that the devil has. Strongholds of the devil. You know, I am not under any illusion that we don't have godly people that are being oppressed by the devil. I mean, just being beat up by the devil. You say, well, if we were godly, you know, the devil wouldn't come home with us. And if we didn't have, I've heard preachers say that, you know, if you'll just get rid of all these symbols and books and things, then the devil wouldn't be in your house. Listen here. The devil went home with the most godly man in the Old Testament. Went to his house. Job. And that man was oppressed by the devil. Well, what did he do? He had to pull down those strongholds of the devil. What are those strongholds of the devil bring in your heart? Not just oppression, but depression. Not just depression, but deception. That's a big stronghold of the devil. Not just deception, but doubt. Now, let's think about it. If the Bible says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and when God talks, it increases our faith, and it brings faith to us. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So when God's interacting with us, faith happens in us. When the devil is interacting with us, doubt is occurring in our lives. Is that not what he did in the garden with Eve? He tries to get you to doubt God, to doubt what God is doing, to doubt if God's in control. That's a stronghold that, well, what do? You pull down the stronghold of the devil. How? He said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. There is no reason for the devil to have victory in any Christian's life. It doesn't matter how weak the Christian is, because God Almighty said, if you'll resist him, he'll leave. Evidently, there's a lot of God's people that don't resist Him. No. In Jesus' name, no! We're no match for the devil, but boy, we've got somebody in us that is. What's another stronghold of the devil? Well, accusation. Isn't that what the Bible, when it describes the devil in the book of Revelation, he calls him the accuser of the brethren. We have never lived in a greater day where people accuse other people.
accusation. Now listen, if there's sin, the Bible says, those that sin, even if they're in leadership, rebuke them before all, but you've got to have two or three witnesses. It's not just an accusation. Do you know, listen to me, do you know that every person in this building is about two or three accusations from being destroyed? I'm talking destroyed. And it don't even have to be 50 miles from the truth. They accused Jesus. Do you know that they said that he was basically a drunk? Called him a wine bearer. A gluttonous man. Did they say that about Jesus or not? You know why? Because that's a stronghold of the devil. The devil knows people will much more believe a lie than they would ever believe the truth. Don't let the devil sow doubt in your heart. Don't let the devil sow accusation in your heart. That's his strong point. That's his stronghold. He does well at that. You know else is a stronghold of the devil? Stealing the Word of God out of your heart. Remember when Jesus talked about the sower that went forth to sow and said the fowls of the air came and grabbed the seed? That was the devil. You know what a strong point of the devil is? As soon as you walk out of this church, he gets you to quit thinking about what you just heard. And if you'll quit thinking about what you heard, you know what? It'll never affect you. He'll grab that thought out of you. That's why you've got to cast down those imaginations. And you've got to concentrate on what God said and how God's dealing with your heart. What's another stronghold of the devil? Well, it would have to be 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, where it says that lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And the verse before us tells us what that stronghold and that device is. And that is a lack of forgiveness in your heart for other people. Unforgiveness is a stronghold of the devil. God gets people, listen, the devil gets people bitter. And I'm telling you what, if bitterness grabs a hold of your heart, if you don't pull that down, it'll destroy you. Now, Brother Farley was right when he was talking about there can be no forgiveness without repentance. That's true. But there should always be a spirit of forgiveness in your heart. When Jesus Christ was on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Those people did not get forgiven. You know why? Because they were not repentant. Are you following me? Though Jesus wanted them to be forgiven, they were not forgiven because they had to repent. But that did not stop the heart of Jesus Christ from having forgiveness in His heart for them. And the opposite of that, if we carry grudges and unforgiveness, the devil is just grabbing more a hold of you every single minute. And if you're sitting there waiting on so-and-so to get right, and you're just getting more upset as the day goes, you're letting the devil just grab you and hold on you. And the Bible says, don't be ignorant that that's the devil's device. Have a forgiving spirit about us. As God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. Another thing, I know He does it with husbands and wives. He says in 1 Corinthians 7, 5, that Satan tempt us, not for our incontinency. That in other words, the husband and wife got to spend a lot of time together, because if you don't stay together, the devil is going to put a stronghold in your life. Guys, listen. I didn't put the dating thing in the bulletin just because it's a nice, funny thing to smile about. God says you guys have got to stay together. You've got to stay together physically. And that bond, listen to me, that bond just can't be those children. Are you listening to me? That bond just cannot be those children. I don't have any more kids at my house. My marriage is better than it's been in a while, isn't it, honey? Amen. I don't have any kids at the house. I don't have to have kids to love my wife. That's not my bond. I'm blessed when nobody's at the house. That's right. Look, I'm not trying to say that you don't live your life ignoring your family. I'm just saying you have got to understand how the devil works. And now he can get a stronghold in a wife or a husband, and that husband's in the workplace, or sometimes the wife's at the workplace, and you find yourself spending more time
with other people than you are. I'm trying to tell you that there can be a stronghold. Grab a hold of your heart. God says you've got to pull that down. And one way you pull that down is you've got to reconnect with your spouse. Amen. And so the strongholds of the devil are many. And listen, it's up to you to pull them down. God won't pull them down for you. Let's look at our verse. I've got to finish up. He says in verse 5, there are mental strongholds, which brings us all the way back to all that series. I'm not going to re-preach that, but in Proverbs 16:3, you remember that? Commit thy works to the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. We've got to get the strongholds in our brains. I'm convinced that so many people have mental problems. And I'm reading in the Bible, verse 5. Casting down imaginations. In other words, that means somebody's imagining something that's not true. You know, the Bible talks in Proverbs 6:18 about hearts that devise wicked imaginations. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, and all that sin that ends up in that depravity of homosexuality. He starts in all that thing. He says, they were vain in their imaginations. Before they ever did anything, they started thinking about stuff. And the battle's in the mind, and we've got to... You have got to learn to take control of your thought life. You don't have to think everything you think. Never put your brain in neutral. If there is one of the greatest sins of the television and the media industry is you set kids and we put ourselves in front of a screen and we stick our brain in neutral. God never intended you to stick your brain in neutral. He wants you to control what you think about. And you can't stop certain things from coming across your brain, but you can grab a hold of it and say, I'm not thinking about it anymore. Yeah. Martin Luther said, you can't keep birds from flying around your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. A lot of truth in that. In our day of lust and immodesty and all that, men, we can't help it if some immodest thing comes in front of our eyes. But you don't have to keep looking. You can say, nope, not thinking that way. Nope, won't do that. I'm going to control my thoughts. You're not going to control my thoughts. And so, how does that stronghold happen in my mind? I lose control of the way I'm thinking. I'm letting other things dictate how I think. Unclean thoughts. People plan out their sins. They meditate on evil. You know, we even have, when they put people to death for murder, there's a charge of premeditated murder, right? That means they've thought about it over and over. They imagined doing it before they ever did it. Just like thoughts of suicide. Imagining that, you need to grab a hold of that and you need to throw it down. Yeah. I remember years and years and years ago, I don't even remember where I was. I was driving down the road, and as I usually do, I was driving like Jehu, you know. And I was on the interstate going to some meeting or something. And some thought came in my head. Wonder what it would be like just to swerve this car and jump off that bridge. And I thought, well, stupid. Guys, I'm telling you. There's all kind of stuff that goes through your brain. And you better learn to grab a hold of that and say, I'm not thinking that way. That's not a thought that is in obedience to Jesus. Thoughts of worry. Be careful for... Man, I want to crawl in the pew then. Is there anybody in this whole church building that's never careful for anything at all, ever? You ever worry about your kids? You ever worry about yourself? You ever worry about the economy? You ever worry about your job? You ever full of care over anything, your health? And God says, be careful for nothing. How do I do that?
I have to grab that thought of worry and throw it down.
He said, preacher, I can't do it.
That's not true. Quit lying to yourself. He said you could do it. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity, listen, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Sometimes those thoughts are thoughts of fear. Sometimes those thoughts are thoughts of situations that aren't real, but they're imagined. Sometimes those thoughts, you know, like young people, you know, they come to a room and they think everybody's looking at them, and nobody's looking at them. The thoughts that, you know, everybody hates me. No, nobody even thinks about you. It's imaginations. You know what we ought to be thinking about? It's just about home time. Yeah. We ought to be thinking about what God's putting on our plate for us to eat tonight. But so many times, we imagine situations, we think about problems. You know, God doesn't even want you to dwell on things in the future you can't control. I don't know if I've mentioned your stronghold tonight. I have no idea. But I know this. I know that every person in this room tonight has something that's fighting you tooth and toenail to keep you from obeying Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in verse 6, we need to have a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Not in other people's lives, as much as our own heart. In other words, I'm going to take that thought that's against God and I'm going to bring vengeance on that and I'm going to cast that down. I'm going to pull that down. And Lord, I want you to have a hold of me. I want you to be my stronghold. I want to believe, God, that you are bigger than my problem. I want to believe that you're stronger than the thing that's got a hold of me. And my relationship with you, God, should be stronger than what is keeping me from living for the Lord. Because you're more important to me than the strong thing that's got a hold of me. Pulling down of strongholds. The weapons are there.